From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. The campfire in Butte County has now ripped across more than 70,000 acres, with a reported thousands of structures having been burned. A note for you that the Butte County website has been down. Many phone lines are down. You're actually being encouraged by officials to use social media to continue emergency or urgent conversation and communication in the area. We're going to get to as many updates in this hour as we can. Standing by is CAL FIRE Deputy Chief Mike Moeller. Chief Moeller, as always, thanks so much for making time for us today.
Good morning, Beth. And unfortunately, here we are again talking about large, devastating wildfires.
What is the story at the moment, now that you have some daylight to assess what's going on and what has happened with the campfire?
Well, right now, just statewide, we have over 6,000 firefighters on the lines already, with six fires, the camp being the most devastating so far. Overnight, we had some relief in the wind throughout the area, but still very active. We're at 70,000 acres, 5% containment. Really, our tactics and strategy right now are obviously life and property to get in there and get up that containment. But again, the destruction through the town of Paradise is still, we're in the survey mode.
And Chief, we're hearing that the fire is pushing to the eastern edge of Chico. What's the situation around that very urban area?
Well, we've asked, again, citizens to be very cognizant. If you're asked to evacuate, please do so early. We've focused a lot of resources into that area. What I can tell you is the lift of the wind, that wind we saw overnight, has really benefited firefighters. But again, that's our primary concern, is to keep it out of that urban area of Chico, working with Chico City Fire.
Obviously, the firefight makes all the difference in saving lives and structures, but ultimately, is this the kind of fire, and are we in this area when it's going to be up to Mother Nature to really stop it because of, like you said last night, a shift in conditions?
No, you're absolutely right. Unfortunately, the conditions here, we are, you know, in the fall months, but we had a very significant red flag warning. The area where the ignition was and it came down through that canyon, we were really the first 12 hours of the firefight evacuating people and trying to get the public out of harm's way. But really, wind-driven fire, what we can do is flank the fire, but we cannot stop the head of the fire. It would be like standing in front of a hurricane. Mother Nature plays a major role.
What are your statistics on structures lost? I'm not hearing, Chief, any lives lost at this point, though I know there are a number of injuries.
There is a number of injuries. We're cautiously optimistic. Again, we haven't had the time to go back. We're still in an active firefight. Again, life, property, priority right now. As far as structures, we've brought in what we call our damage assessment teams. They're already engaged. We know there's significant structure damage, do not have a number. And as far as any type of injury or life loss, we're still in the mode of searching and rescuing.
Chief, can you just tell me a bit about this area and fire prevention? Is this an area where there had been inspections or a look at the width of roads or the clearance around homes? How active had you been in this area?
Well, I can tell you, Butte County, along with their county board of supervisors, CAL FIRE, unfortunately, those communities, as we saw in the 07 lightning sieges, and just that area is not formed a wildfire. They're very exercised in prevention with the fire safe councils and clearance. And this is, unfortunately, an area that it can be susceptible to fire. When we see conditions like we saw yesterday morning with that fire, even if you had that clearance, there's just some things that you can't prevent. I think the communities were prepared, but again, this fire moves so quickly, as we've seen at the beginning of the year this year and last year. We're just seeing conditions that we don't call the new normal. They're normal now, explosive fire growth. But, you know, we think through prevention and education, hopefully people knew that red flag was there and to be prepared.
Chief, are you saying that in the time that we're in, even with the best prevention that agencies could muster at this point, this is a fire that was unstoppable in what it did?
I would say with what we're seeing, yes, with the fire conditions, what we call the alignment of the wind through that canyon, This fire with the push of Mother Nature really was a force to be reckoned with, and it was something that we couldn't have stopped at the early stages. Now we're getting the opportunity without the wind to do it, but the conditions were, again, and I hate to use the term, but it was a perfect storm.
Can you give me a quick update on the firefight in Southern California?
Absolutely. So right now, the two major fires in Southern California, we have the Hill Fire. That's over 6,000 acres, 0% contained. We have the Woolsey Fire, which right now is pushing towards the community of Malibu that's under evacuation. That's over 8,000 acres, 0% contained. Our concern right now is we're going to see that red flag and those offshore winds, unfortunately, return to the Southern California area. CAL FIRE, along with our local and federal partners, have also moved resources to assist that end of the state also.
All right, Chief Mueller, thank you so much for your time. We will be checking back in with you.
Thank you again.
Good luck on the fire lines, too. Thanks.
Thank you.
Now I believe Cap Radio's Bob Moffitt is standing by on the phone.
Yeah,
and
fine. Did you just get here?
Hey, Bob, it's Beth in Sacramento.
Hey.
Hi there. Can you tell
me
where you are, what's going on around you?
I'm at headquarters. The morning briefing ended a little while ago. You heard most of the details just a couple minutes ago in your conversation there. Right now, dozers are moving in, driving up 99 through from Yuba City into Chico. There were a dozen fire engines parked alongside of the road near Durham. The fire had come up to Highway 99, and so everything east of 99 from that Durham off-ramp all the way into Chico is scorched to the right, but that the Highway 99 provided a nice fire break, at least in this area. It would have been nice if there had been something similar up in Paradise yesterday. But right now, just activity of people trying to find their units, trying to find where they're supposed to go, bulldozers pulling in, water tenders, there are semis on the road that have been coming up that I was driving up with that are bringing in supplies. It's just activity trying to get people where they need to be.
So, Bob, you said in the briefing they talked about a handful of factors that are really critical for right now and in relation to the campfire, one being trees, but another being traffic.
Well, yeah, just because of all that, all the vehicles that I just described are all coming in. There are engines that have been in there. Fire crews have been in there since yesterday morning. They're now starting to be relieved. Visibility. I mean, we're in Chico, which is, I'm guessing, probably maybe 20 miles, maybe less, west of Paradise, you know, a straight shot. And visibility here, it stinks. So, I mean, it's, you know, in the middle of all that, with all the smoke and everything and, no wind to speak of, visibility is definitely a factor.
All right, Bob, I'm going to ask you to report back into us any changes that happen around you. And thank you very much for your report. We're going to jump over to Mark Albert, who is the Morning Edition host and a reporter in Chico for North State Public Radio. Hi, Mark. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Good morning, Beth. How are you?
So what can you add about the picture and about evacuations that might be rolling now as the fire progresses?
Well, we just received word that they are officially lifting the evacuations and repopulating the tiny slice of Chico that was ordered evacuated in less than 2 hours' time. That's at 11 a.m. They're going to start to repopulate. I was just out on the road less than half an hour ago beyond the roadblocks up Highway 32, which is slightly north of Paradise. It sort of follows the next ridge north. It's just difficult to describe in words. There is a black pall over the valley, and as you head into the foothills, it's like the darkest Midwestern thunderstorm you've ever seen. There's smoke hanging maybe 75 feet of elevation above the ground, and once you start heading up the hill, the visibility just completely stops. In parts of Chico itself, The air quality remains, was pretty okay until this morning. But a lot of people spent the night wondering whether they needed to flee. And certainly there's quite a bit of unease after what happened in Santa Rosa just a year ago, where people went to bed with the fire 10 miles away, which the fire is about 8 miles from Chico right now, and woke up in the midst of an inferno, and many people didn't get out. So people are very concerned. Driving around, there are firefighters staged all over the place. There are emergency units, there are bulldozers in position should the fires get closer. And just to describe a little bit of the geography, in the valley there's a lot of dead grass, and that is creating a lot of very great visual images for television. And causing quite a bit of concern, as that video has shown. There are some backfires lit to protect, to get rid of some of that dry grass before the fire could light that up. I suppose the main concern is the fire reaching into the orchard country to the east of town and to the south of town. However, I imagine those trees are heavily irrigated. If you've ever been to Paradise, I would just like to paint a picture, if you would.
Please.
It's a beautiful small community at about 1,800 feet up to 2,000 feet. And it's as you get into town, you hit that elevation where ponderosa pines can absolutely thrive. It's beautiful. Being in a pine forest, it's like Lake Tahoe. It's a retirement community. There are many older people, many retired people there. And we just heard that the latest estimate is 15,000 structures lost. Butte County's population is 230,000. We're talking about 15% of the county is now homeless, if that's true. And that is an absolutely tremendous blow. I think it's just unimaginable. It's not a particularly prosperous county. There's not a ton of industry here. And the folks that lost everything, have already retired. And my heart really goes out to everyone. The descriptions, the photographs, it is block after block of absolute devastation on a scale of Redding. I was out talking to folks at the evacuation shelters yesterday as they were spending 4 or 5 hours to get the 10 miles between Paradise and Chico. Folks were absolutely shell-shocked. And just either didn't want to talk. I lent my phone to people to try and reconnect some elderly folks who were rescued from a convalescent home on a county bus and try to get them in touch with their relatives to let them know that they're okay. It's difficult to imagine. We've covered these kinds of things before, and of course it's different when it's in your own personal backyard. There's been a lot of focus on social media, and I have to tell you, there's so much misinformation that's causing people absolute panic. We've heard all sorts of reports that certain historic landmarks have been destroyed, that the fire is here, the fire is there, and it's really not the case. I can tell you that the high school, the elementary school, the hospital in Paradise were destroyed. And there's plenty of people in the valley spending a sleepless night last night.
Mark, I'm going to jump in here and talk about the emotional fatigue that's happening even for first responders right now. Even though this has only been going on for about 30 hours, the intensity of it, the people needing to be moved, and as you said, the incredible devastation. I know there was an effort to evacuate the hospital in Paradise yesterday, and people were met initially with a wall of flames, and a second attempt thankfully worked later on. But as you're describing it, even that level of vivid picture and pain isn't all of what we know yet, because this is so brand new and we've only had a couple hours of daylight.
Oh, yeah. There were lines at every gas station. There are gas stations running out of fuel. The traffic, you know, Chico is still at its heart a small town. Yes, it's grown quite a bit in, over the last 20 or 30 years, but it's still a small town at heart. Thankfully, you didn't see fist fights at gas stations. People are... you know, helping one another out.
Hey, Mark, yes. I'm going to pause you because we're going to get an update now from Bob Moffitt, who is up at the Silver Dollar Fairgrounds. So I want to thank you for your information and tell you we may come back to you in the hour, okay?
Okay, Beth, it's an honor and a pleasure.
Thank you so much. That's Mark Albert. He is the Morning Edition host at North State Public Radio in Chico. Now back to Cap Radio's Bob Moffitt. Bob, what's going on?
Hey, I didn't mean to cut off Mark, but I did want to chime in on a couple of things that he mentioned, and he's right on the money about a couple of them. But I know for a fact that some of the senior, he mentioned that the senior community, by and large, and that's certainly true, there's a high population there. A lot of the people in the nursing homes and facilities had to be evacuated,
right.
As well as, and they are in neighboring cities and towns. I know there's one in Gridley that for sure that has that's taken on eight people there, and also the just the idea of the topography of that area and how fast those winds were coming in. And he painted a beautiful picture of the Ponderosas, and I have family that lives there. And so when we've gone up there, I remember driving through that town saying, God, this is a beautiful place. I hate to think what would happen if a fire comes through here because it's just, it's choked. It's literally choked with trees, trees everywhere along the streets. I mean, the businesses are underneath and, he painted a really nice picture of what it was.
Well, Bob, I want to add to that as Mark Finan on KCRA's weather forecast reported, that Yarbo Gap near where the fire began had wind gusts up over 50 miles an hour yesterday. So the terrain and the topography of that Yarbo Highway 70 area was just so violent. I think violent is the best word for it. But Bob, I'm going to have you stand by for a moment because we're going to check in with Caltrans with so many road closures and issues with roads in the area. Thank you, Bob. And let's go to Raquel Borio with Caltrans. Hi, Raquel. Glad to have you with us.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
So what can you tell me about the emergency response and road closures in the area of this campfire?
So currently, we have Highway 70 closed westbound from Garden Drive, and that's in the Orville area, to the Highway 89 junction. So that's all the way up to Plymouth County. And then eastbound from Highway 89, we've got that closed down to the Highway 149 junction, and that's all the way down to the Orville area as well. So you cannot go up Highway 70 from Orville or down from Plymouth. And then as far as on Highway 99, we have northbound and southbound currently closed from Shippey Road to Southgate Avenue. And Highway 191, that's the road that goes straight up into Paradise from Highway 70, that is currently closed as well.
What are you advising for people in the area who are still on the move trying to get away from that area, Raquel?
So Caltrans actually has a quick map that we recommend that people download. You can get it on iTunes or Google Play, or you can just pull it up on your phone's browser, preferably while you are not driving. But it will have up-to-date road closure information for this area.
You know, Raquel, we don't often talk to Caltrans in the midst of a fire emergency, but would you just quickly describe the role that the agency has in emergency response and dealing with the fleeing of people and the influx of emergency vehicles, the whole big picture?
So Caltrans works very closely with other emergency response agencies like California Highway Patrol, Butte County Sheriff's Office, just to ensure that if they need to make road closures so that people can get out quickly or safely, we are going to help enforce those, and we are going to be giving the public up-to-date information about different changes to road closures. You know, we want to make sure that we are doing the best that we can to give the public information that is going to benefit them, and also working closely with other emergency responders to help them evacuate this area, because it, you know, it's a very mountainous area. It's very beautiful up here, and it's not a ton of freeway connections like you would have in a larger city because it is such a rural area. So we work very closely with our other first responders to make sure that we are closing the areas that need to be closed for the safety of the public.
I'm looking at some information on a press release that says Camp Fire Quick Map. Quick Map, all is one word. So that's the best place to direct people right now for information?
Yeah, so we update that. We work very closely with CHP as well. They let our dispatchers know what closures need to be put in place for safety, and we update that map, and then we also share that information with the public.
Raquel, thank you so much for the update. I appreciate that you were able to take a few minutes and get on the program with me today.
Thank you.
That is Raquel Borio from Caltrans. We have one more update. I believe we have Jim Matthews standing by from the National Weather Service. Wind, of course, these warmer and dry conditions have been such huge factors in the starting of fires in the last day, both in Northern and Southern California. Jim, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
All right. So tell me about this shift in weather conditions, and how long are these winds going to stay lower as they are this morning?
Yes, we expect lighter winds today and into today, tomorrow, on Saturday. However, Saturday evening and into Sunday morning, we expect another round of those dry, gusty north-to-northeast winds to develop over Northern California, and that'll result in more critical fire weather conditions. We do have a fire weather watch for Saturday evening into Monday morning at this time. And we are closely looking at our weather charts and deciding what to do.
One more question. Are you part of, I'm trying to grasp this network of communication that happens. You've just given a forecast like that. And I know Cal Fire has its own meteorologists, but is there a good cross-agency communication now saying, okay, we could have another big wind event on Saturday. We're going to staff up and stand by and change our resources. Is that networking happening in a way that involves you as well?
Oh, yes, it is. We have a couple of forecasters right now down at the Emergency Operations Center in Sacramento, coordinating with all agencies that are involved in response and highway patrol, Caltrans. It's a close knit group of people that are working very hard to get the best information we can to the public and, of course, to the decision makers.
All right, Jim, thanks to you, too, for a couple minutes of your time. I appreciate the weather update.
Oh, you're welcome, and our hearts and prayers go out to the people in paradise.
Mm. All of ours do as well. Thank you, Jim. That is Jim Matthews with the National Weather Service. On the phone now from the CHP is spokesperson Officer Seha. He is with the Valley Division. Hello, Officer Seha. Thanks for a few minutes of your time.
Hello, and good morning.
So Caltrans talked about the quick map that can guide people through and around the area. What do you want to add to that? And you do have this cross traffic situation with people going in and emergency responders coming in and out and around. Give me the lay of the land from your view.
Well, the thing that we want people to understand is that it's very unsafe for them to be, you know, trying to cross are trying to go through the closures. We are there for a purpose, and we urge them to please listen to the law enforcement that is on scene, because we're there for their safety. And as far as road closures go right now, we do have State Route 191 closed at the junction of State Route 70. We also have State Route 32 closed at Yosemite Drive in Chico. We also have State Route 70 from with the 191 at Pence Road, just north of the junction of 89 and Greenville Way. And we have State Route 99 still closed from State Route 149 at the junction to Southgate Avenue in Chico. We do have word that the fire is now 70,000 acres, has burned through 70,000 acres, and is approximately 5% contained at the moment.
As you look at the rest of the day today and you're shaping your plans, I know this is a bit of forward talking, but what areas are you looking at for possible additional closures, say over the next 6 to 8 hours?
Well, right now we are in collaboration with Caltrans and Cal Fire, and as well as all the other agencies there. And we just got to kind of put our heads together and figure out what our next course of action is as far as road closures go. But right now it's uncertain.
Okay. Any place that you want to direct people for additional information besides that Caltrans quick map?
Right now, that would be the best resource to go through it because it's constantly being updated. So it's constantly telling people, where they can and cannot go through. That would be the best course of action right now.
All right. Officer Seha, again, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
And that was a CHP spokesperson with the Valley Division. Let's go back to Bob Moffitt quickly. Bob, I just want to revisit the evacuation situation. I know you were headed for the Silver Dollar Fairgrounds in Chico. Is that kind of ground zero for everybody to gravitate to?
Well, this is definitely where the command center is, the headquarters for all the firefighters. There have been a number of evacuation centers that have been set up across Butte County. As the fire expanded, then some of those moved. Some are even into Gridley and in Chico. I believe one of the ones in Chico was actually full to capacity last I checked. I haven't seen much in the way of evacuees or people who live up in Paradise here. This is mostly the command center for vehicles, firefighting, and other equipment.
All right. I said this earlier that the Butte County website is down. Many phone lines are down. Your cell phone service seems to be just fine from up there at the moment, but people are being directed to social media for communication. Anything to add to that, Bob?
This fire's wiped out a lot of landscape, and there's going to be some communication problems that come with that. Fortunately, the Cal Fire comes with Wi-Fi and comes with communications abilities that people in other areas don't have. Just as talk about infrastructure, one thing I didn't mention earlier was as I was driving up, there are I believe at least six power lines that run through the area that's been burned by the fire, and I've seen multiple PG&E trucks out and about, including one. Not sure if it's babysitting the line or what it's doing, but it was hanging around Highway 99 as one of the power lines was leaning to the south, and there was a truck underneath, and I think they were bringing in a crew to shore that up. So
I'll just add, Bob, that I was in communication this morning by emails with PG&E. We were hoping to get a spokesperson. And then just before we went on the air, we were told that there's so much focus on emergency response right now, supporting customers, first responders, and the communities, that there wasn't an opportunity for a conversation. But of course, with this wind event coming up over the last couple days, thousands of people were on standby for their power being shut down as a preventative measure. So it doesn't surprise me. Of course, you would see PG&E presence throughout the area.
Yeah, it's a typical when they have an incident like this that they send, they start sending crews out as soon as they can because they are able to work usually from the outside in order to restore service, which sometimes helps the first responders. Sometimes, and then for people that are whose homes were not affected, then they can return sooner, but with the area and with the containment being as minimal as it is, it's going to be a little bit for that to happen. I did want to give you just a brief weather, just a feel of what the difference was too of the weather this morning compared to what it was yesterday. It's significantly colder. It's in the upper 30s to lower 40s up here, and the wind is barely moving. Yesterday, it was cool, but it wasn't as cold as it is this morning, and the winds were howling. So it's definitely been an improvement in 24 hours compared to what it was yesterday.
All right, Bob, thanks so much for your reports on the ground there. We're going to take a short break and continue with the wildfire coverage on Insight. You are listening to Insight on CAP Radio.